DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. It's me, Happy KB. Hey, I have a super special guest today. It's a person who's been in our community off and on a couple times. He took a hiatus there for a little bit. He has come back and rejoined us. I have in the hot seat with me, Alex, 8721. I have to put that on there because it's the end of your tag. But we have Alex in the hot seat with me. Hello. So we have the past and the future, and we're here at the podcast for DMT World. So, hey, dude, how are you?
I'm all right. I feel like a bastard child of DMT World. Like I belong there, but like I'm never around. It's like, you know, that missing uncle that just comes around, is cool as fuck, and then takes off for like years.
Yeah, something like that. It's fine, I mean,
that's,
you know,
kind of what it's like. I've become accustomed to it, though.
Well, you know, it's like I tell people, even though you leave, you're still part of the community. So, you know, coming back and forth is perfectly fine. We gotta leave to know why we want to come back into the community and be here, right?
Right, but I also think like we leave our mark on the place. You know what I mean? Like I just mm-hmm. joined again today, and I saw a couple of some OGs on there. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, these dudes are still doing it. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. That's, they're still out there spreading the love. You know, it's beautiful.
Oh, they really are. You'd see. What's really cool is like a lot of what you instilled in people, like just like spreading the love. It's here. It's still here. You're still in the community, and you have rubbed off on a lot of people. You, Madness, you know, a lot of the people that have come through here, the remnants is still here. We still get people who leave and come back, and then they ask, like, is Alex still here? Is this person still here? Is this person still here? So, yeah, we're still kicking. We're still kicking. How have you been?
Man, I've been through some shit.
Oh,
well, wow. I know. Look, we've had a conversation about this before. I'm gonna go ahead and say it again. I'm an open book too. I ain't got no problem with anybody listening to what I gotta say because I am who I am. You know.
Right.
But when I remember I joined DMT, well, like in 2019. What was it? 19. It was like 2019.
I came
right behind Madness because he left. He got some shit with somebody in Reddit in the Shroomers group. They're all fucking hating on him and shit. Anyways, I remember getting on there, and became an admin and all this shit. And I was tripping. Like, that whole time, I was going through a whole spiritual awakening, you know what I mean, with the medicine. I mean, I was seeing things that I never saw before, but I just kind of felt. It was just like finding faith. You know, I really, literally found, you know, faith in these experiences. And it's something that has kept me going because after I did the podcast, too, I do podcast for like a year? I had a couple of episodes up there.
Yeah, I have to look. We still have them up on Spotify, so I'd have to go back and check that. But yeah, I think it was about a year or so.
Right. I remember going through that shit, and like I listened to myself again. I've listened to it just to kind of see where I was at the time. You know what I mean? And like, man, I don't know. I sometimes I say shit for other people. Like I give advice, but it's just I'm giving myself advice.
Yeah. Oh,
I should be listening to myself. But, you know, I was going through some shit between me and my wife, man. And, you know, we ended up getting a divorce. And, like, I found out some shit between her and I. And it just really I lost my mind. You know what I mean? I was like, what the fuck? Like, this lady was the core of my support system, you know. And if anybody knows me already, they know I'm a combat vet, too. I was in the military. I went to Iraq, Afghanistan. The whole thing was in combat, all that shit. So I had PTSD, you know, and, like, there was a lot of drinking, substance abuse, violence, shit like that. But when I met my wife, you know, like she became that thing that grounded me.
Right.
So when all this shit happened, like I lost my mind. Like I really did. It was in 2000. Well, I took a break because she got sick. Remember, I think she was like, and even that, you I'm left. Like, I don't even fucking know. But
right. You were here and then you left.
Right.
And then
right.
you came back. And then you were here for like a longer stint. And then this is when you left again.
Right.
You've actually
right.
left. Actually, you got on, you left. You can't, you got, because you got mad at somebody who had a profile name that you didn't particularly think matched their picture. And so you left.
I don't remember that, but I know I did.
Then you came back. Yep. And then that's when you got on staff for the first time. And then right. and then you left again. And that's when your wife and all that stuff was happening with right. her.
But I mean, this shit was spilling out of my face, KB. Like, I go back and I listen to myself and I'm like, dude, I didn't even know this shit, man. Like, I just didn't know. I kept moving, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I love to do, you know, talk to people and, you know, listen to other people's stories and shit. But this thing just put a halt. What's up?
So you say that you were just saying stuff and stuff is coming out. Were you listening, though, to your... What was coming
I was in. Listening to myself. I was like, damn, dude, I was saying shit like in the beginning, like the intros. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, man, I should have been telling myself this shit, man. I was going through, I didn't even realize it, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't paying attention to it. I was just like,
It's easier to give other people advice than it is for us to take our own advice. Trust me.
Well, I think for me, what it was like, I put in so much trust into this one person thinking it was going to be all right. So I just right. left it alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it wasn't absolutely. Until I started digging and it was like, fuck.
Okay, so you came back the third time, which would technically second, whatever. You came back, and that's when you were here and running the podcast and right. doing all that stuff. So when it started, we're going to put ourselves there. That's where you're at this point in time. So here are still a DMT world. You're running the podcast. You're doing all your stuff. You at the
I was tripping at the time, too. That's like the biggest thing was like, I was having these sessions, like in 2019, one of the most significant things about that year for me was that I, 2 years prior to that, I just got done with the 2-year microdosing regimen. I ended up doing the Paul Stamets, but a modified version, 3 to 5 right. times a week, take, you know, 2 weeks off every month or whatever. And I wasn't using the niacin either. That shit's bullshit. But in 2019, I decided to stop doing all the other shit, drinking everything. And I started doing heroic doses once a month. I did January, February, and I think it was like September, I did DMT. And this, mind you, I was doing all the shit and going through all this shit too. So I was like experiencing this fucking evolution, a change in myself, you know, because
oh, yeah, sure.
I felt like a baby. Like I didn't even know what a fucking a zodiac sign, like I didn't know none of this shit. Like the fucking cube, the thing, the Metatron's cube. I didn't know none of this shit. You know, I was a baby. But when I left, like all this shit started coming back. Like I started seeing more shit about it. I basically went into a fucking nightmare for like 2 years. I was, I tell people that because like, have you ever had a dream where you see yourself doing some shit and you wake up and you're like, what the fuck was I doing? Everybody has that. You know, it could be a different thing. It could be you killing somebody, doing a drug or, you know, always something like there's just a side of us. It's just like a dark side of us. And I feel like that side of my conscience, like it just came out and I just fucking... I thought I was trying to kill myself at first, you know, but in hindsight, I see that I was just destroying or letting go of this identity of who I was,
sure.
you know, because it was all centered around that.
You said you found out things about your wife. Was this during, while you were still at DMT World?
Nah. So, when she was getting really sick, that was the thing where I was like, what the fuck? Right. But I was like, I'm going to take some time off to help. And it was affecting a lot of our ship, like my work right. and everything. But, you know, it was some other underlying issue where it was like, man, this is why I didn't feel good, you know?
Right.
This is why. And it was just like, damn, it broke my fucking heart. You know, I lost my fucking mind. I really did. And it was like, I don't know, maybe like a year or two after I left. Or no, like a year. It was 2022, I think it was.
I was going to say, we're in 2024. So if that gives you a guideline.
Right. And, man, I ended up homeless. I was living on the streets for a year and a half of the last 2 years in my truck in the forest up in Prescott. But here's the thing, though, KB, like in the depths of all my fucking bullshit, I found beauty within myself. I had my guitar with me. And, you know, I used to play a little bit, but nothing like I do today. What happened? I was homeless. I couldn't get back into my house. I got kicked out of my own fucking house. And I was in my truck and I had my guitar. So I was playing like 6 to 8 hours a day. And then like after the first month, it just clicked. And I was like, man, I could fucking play guitar, man. Like there's a lot of shit I don't know, but I can make a song. I can make music.
Yes, and that was
in 23, in the end of 23 and then, 22. And last year in March, I went to the VA clinic here in Phoenix off of 32nd Street in Van Buren. And they had a fucking, what is it called? Baby grand piano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Baby grand piano. Was like, what? And I already knew about chords. It just all lined up. And like the first time I jumped on that fucking thing, man, like I was just vibrating. I was like, what the fuck? Like, where'd this come from? You know, and I don't know. It just, It showed me that I was still capable of, you know, making some beautiful shit. You know what I mean? Besides all the fucked up shit I've done and all the shit I've been through, like, I still got, we all have this thing, you know? It's a God-given talent. It's a God-given ability. It's a God-given whatever. And I believe this, you know? I really do. And this is what really pushed me through all of last year was playing music. And as you know now, like, this is what I do. It's my therapy. It's the most effective form of therapy I've ever came across, not only with, you know, the shit between me and my ex, but the shit, you know, in the military and growing up, my childhood was violent too. You know, that's all I did. Violence my whole life until I got out.
Let's go back a little bit. Let's learn about a little bit about you, Alex. Cause I know there's a lot of people that who now listen to my podcast or this podcast, and they don't maybe know much about who you are. So you say you grew up, in violence, right? That's right. You grew up on the streets, is that right?
Well, I grew up in a poor neighborhood here in Phoenix. And like in the 90s where I was at, it was a bad neighborhood. There was just a lot of crime. I was part of that crime. My brothers and my cousins, you know what I mean? Because this is how we grew up.
Product of your environment, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and like I didn't even know until I went to the military. Like, holy shit, man, there's like so much more to life than, you know.
So why did you go to the military?
Because at the time, I was telling my son about this last night. I had all my friends, everybody I knew, all my peers were getting shot, going to jail, having babies. And it's like at 15, 16, 17. Oh. And like, I remember I graduated high school on time because I never went to school. But I came back to my GED, turned in for some credits, graduated on time, even though I fucked off the first 2 years. And then I was like, what do I do in like the next year or that year after I graduated? It was fucking, the year before 9/11 happened. And I, you know, like me and a bunch of other motherfuckers around the time, for me, I was like, this is a better option, you know, because I didn't know what I was going to do after getting out of high school. And my mom, she didn't want me to go. So she was like, because it was like right when all this shit happened. She's like, why don't you just get a job, work for a year. If you still feel the same way, we'll talk about it again. And like I said, you know, it's my mom. Got to keep her happy.
And how old were you at this point in time?
At that time, I was 19.
Okay.
I think I was 18 or 19. But then I stayed for like another year, worked. After the year was done, I was like, still feel the same way, Mom. I took off like 2 weeks later. I was in Fort Benning. And then I was
in. And infantry. You went into what area of the military?
I was in the Army, in the U.S. Army. I was an infantryman, airborne paratrooper.
Okay. Oh, okay.
82nd Airborne Division, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I did like four years there. Deployed.
Did you like it?
You know, at the time, I didn't. When I first started and was training, I did because I, like I said, I never knew about this. I never had a family member went to the military, nothing.
Oh, so it was okay.
Like learning a whole new thing. And I grew up around gangs and violence. So, like, I've been in firefights. I was talking to my son about this today. I showed him this alleyway where I got into my first firefight. I was 15 years old. So, naturally, I just fucking, you know, fish and water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, the violence continued, you know? So at the time it was fun, but you know, when I started killing people, that shit changed me. You know, I was like, fuck, this is some real shit. Like, what the fuck am I doing here?
So during when you went in, okay, so where did you get deployed to?
So in 2004, I went into the Army, went to basic training at the end of the year. In December, I got to my unit, but they were in Iraq. So I didn't get to go with those guys over there, but the following year, 2000, or like 2 years later, I did a bunch of training. And then like 2 years later in 2007, I got deployed for about a year and a half to Afghanistan. And it was a trip. It was like nobody had ever been where we were at. Like we were still living in fucking tents for like 12 out of the 16 months we were there. It was fucking ridiculous because everybody went to Iraq.
Right.
First we went to Afghanistan, then everybody went to Iraq. And then everybody just kind of threw their hands up at Iraq and they're like, oh yeah, we're still in Afghanistan. Fucking 20 some years later, we're leaving and look at the fucking disaster. You know what I mean? Things like,
oh, yeah.
I just saw a different perspective and was like, damn, this is something I've done my whole life is hurt people, get hurt. Like it's just violence. And like, I went to this level and I was good at it too. Like anybody who got deployed to me, they'll tell you like, man, Morano's good soldier in the field, but back in garrison, not a great guy. Cause you know, I just fuck shit up. That's it. But Yeah, that this is kind of what led me to psychedelics, because I was searching for healing. You know, I was really fucked up my whole childhood.
Well, let's okay. So after that, were you discharged? Did you leave? Like, how did you get out of the military?
Yeah, so this is even crazier. Like, 2008, I was coming back from Afghanistan. I had gotten a firefight like a month, like right before I left, and I was in Phoenix a month later. I still had like a month of like leave, so I just took all the leave, and then I was right back into Phoenix, right back in the same neighborhood I left when I went to the military. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I went through a couple of years where I was just doing a lot of shit I shouldn't have been doing, still carrying on the violence, still doing drugs, like drinking all the time. And you know, this is what happened, like with my first marriage, you know, partly due to my behavior. But it was all the shit I didn't, you know, I wasn't all the shit that happened in combat and even as a child, like shit that your mind just kind of puts to the back of your head because you don't know how to deal with it or there's no time. Like, it just all started pouring out of my head, you know, and like I was drinking a lot and just a bunch of shit, man. I went to the VA for like 2 or 3 years at this time, four years I was doing medication. I don't know. It was just fucking me up. Like, on one medication, I gained like 70 pounds in a year. Another medication, I was sleeping like 14. It was a fucking mess. So in 2014, I heard Rick Doblin on a podcast and he was talking about the MDMA.
Were you married? Because we've talked about this. You have your first wife. Where does she fit in? Has she come into the picture yet?
Yeah, my first wife was kind of like my girlfriend.
Your first wife was Russian?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, she's from Russia. She's from Ijevsk, Russia. But, cool girl. You know, I met her. I told you the story how I met her, right? Like, I met her in Brooklyn, and they had this setup. I basically was just like, fuck these guys. Anybody want to go with me? Let's go. They're basically like mail order brides to like other soldiers. These motherfuckers went to prison for this shit. Like, for real. No joke. But I went in there and just pulled one of those girls. I was just like, hey, if anybody wants to, you know, just come with me, blah, blah, blah. And then the guys were like, don't fucking listen to him. And later on, that girl came down and we talked and we just got to, you know, get together. And I was like, hey, look, let's get married. I'm about to get deployed. You know, I'll get some extra money and you'll get your fucking, your visa or whatever the fuck. Sure right. enough, like after I got deployed, my mid-tour leave, I went to Manhattan. I guess their ICE or whatever it is, where you do the interviews and this citizenship yeah. stuff. Sure. I was in my uniform and shit. They're all like, they're looking at me, looking at her. They're like, okay, yeah. But you know, just stamp, 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 stamp. See you guys later. Cause you know, I was in Afghanistan. I lived in all that shit. And we were right. together probably for like a year, but.
And you had a good time. You had a good time with her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're like boyfriend and girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's it. I mean, you got married, but yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Even now.
Did you get divorced or did you get it annulled?
No, I got a divorce.
It had to be a divorce that way, because that way, if it was annulled, it would mean that it never happened, and therefore she wouldn't have gotten her.
No, we were married. No, and I wasn't nothing like that. Like, when I got back from Afghanistan, I took her on a trip. We were for like 10 days. We went down to Florida. We went all around that place. And then awesome. Afterwards, I was like, hey, I'm going to Phoenix. If you still want to do this, you can come with me. And she was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, all right, cool. And that's it. That was it.
You never heard from her again?
Nah, I got divorced with her and that was it. I was like, all right, see you later.
One life. There you go. Okay. So no wife. So now where are we?
All right. When I got out of the military, that's when I met my second wife, which is actually like my first wife. And I had a child.
No, you married this Russian lady. She was your first wife.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now. This is 100% true. This is a fact. I will never, ever involve the courts in any of my personal affairs. Ever again, including marriage. Now I'll dedicate myself to somebody. I'll do a wedding. I'll do the whole process. But go to the courts? Fuck all that. No. Like, if that's a deal breaker for you, then maybe we're not meant to be together. Because fuck the courts. They don't ever give a fuck about me when I go in their shit.
Okay, so you get out of the army, and
right away I meet my first baby's mom. My first baby mama. Where's my second wife?
That works.
And,
okay.
You know, this is when I started realizing I had a problem, because not at the time. It's kind of always like a hindsight thing. You know, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, but I was causing a lot of shit. And, you know, this is what led me to go to the VA because we ended up getting divorced. We had a bunch of shit happening. She did on her mindset. It was a fucked up time. But we had a kid. And, she, you know, she took the kid. And I was like, fuck, we're great fucking friends today. I was just at her house yesterday. You know what I mean? So we're cool as fuck. She's married and everything, too. Got another kid. Great fucking mom, too. Great mom.
Good.
There's always a reason why I had a baby with these ladies.
Well, I mean, that's good.
I'm letting you know, but fuck.
Because your kids needed good moms.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm glad. I'm really happy for that, too. I'm blessed, and so are my children. But good. Yeah, and then we got together, and, you know, a lot of fucking years of just doing stupid shit and drinking and stuff. And then we got divorced, and at the time, we were living like, I think we were together for like 2-3 years. And then we were together for 2-3 years, but we lived together for 2 years. And at the last year, we were living in 2 different rooms in an apartment. Like, this is what happened, you know? Oh. Like, it was just a complete disconnect. Yeah, yeah, and like, she was going out seeing people. I was going out seeing people. And I met my third wife, actually. I mean, I didn't even, it just happened, you know? I was like, oh, shit. And then, you know, she ended up pregnant. And we're like, fuck. And like 6 months later, my wife at the time, we had left somewhere and we had came back around the same time. Both of us were drunk. You know, one thing led to another and boom, that's how our baby was born. But these motherfuckers were pregnant, two ladies 6 months
apart.
That
is frightening. That is really frightening. I'm surprised you are alive to even talk about that.
Man, so am I, because these ladies are They're both Tauruses too. They're fucking
gosh. Wow.
Stubborn in the motherfucker. Yeah. And when they hate you, they fucking hate you too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Even if they're the ones who fucked up, they'll still hate on you just for getting mad at them.
So we're in our third wife. Okay. So let's talk about psychedelics. So you were going to the VA, and were they before your psychedelics, what was going on? Were they helping you at the VA?
So I had, When I got back, this dude hooked me up at this veteran center, this old Vietnam vet in Bakersfield, California. Fucking dude was God sent to me. But he basically sat me down and just answered me a bunch of questions, got me set up to the VA without me even fucking knowing, because he knew I would be like, man, I don't give a fuck about that shit. But I thank God that he did, because I got a lot of my service connected disabilities through that. Because I had been in combat, I had been hurt, I had parachuting, a bunch of shit, which is haunting me today.
Right.
But that's what started off my whole relationship with the VA. So after I got that second divorce, met my third wife, this is when I started realizing, like, man, I got to start changing, because, you know, I already had two boys, and then we had two more boys. You know, it was just all adding up, and I was like, man, I gotta fix myself. You know, I just know something's not right. Like, I've always had a kill switch in me, and it's always been there. And like, even to this day, it's there, and I can't call it anything else, because that's what it is. You know, my capacity for violence has always been huge. Yeah. So even my responses can be a little bit to other people who didn't grow up like me or grew up in my environment. It may be a little bit concerning or loud or whatever, but this is who I am. You know, and, I just gotta, this is what started me to fixing myself. And I went to the VA. I trusted them, said, all right, do whatever you guys got to do. I'll take medication. And I started in like 2012, and then like 2010, because I got out in 08. I was still in the guard for like 2 years. And then and I went and I kept fucking with them for about 4 years. And that's when I was like, fuck this. I don't want to do this no more. I said, it wasn't helping me. It was causing more symptoms of other shit. And I don't even know what the fuck they were like. They were like, it's for PTSD. But I'm like, guys, like, I'm taking medication right now, full disclosure, but it's an antidepressant. Let me tell you, like, I did the research on the shit. I was like, there's not one medication that fixes or helps PTSD. Not one. Because PTSD is just like a bunch of shit because of traumatic shit you went through.
Yeah,
it's, so it's not like a one. Yeah, and they're giving me, like, anti-seizure medication, antipsychotics. Like, they didn't even know what they were doing. It's 2012 at the VA.
And it's right. It's because they didn't know what to give you. They were just you were a trial test.
Right, right.
Well, we're gonna try this. Oh, that's not working. Oh, we're gonna do this. Nope. Every vet I've talked to, Alex, that has dealt with PTSD has a similar story.
But check this out, though, KB. I think that everybody goes through some kind of PTSD. I think everybody goes, whether it's in your childhood, middle of your life. The fact is like, you just got to heal. And sometimes medication works. Like, you know, this is what happened. I'll come back to the story, but the medication part, because it's important. Because
when I
came to DMT world, I was like, man, fuck medication, just mushroom, man. And it did help me. But I got to this point where I was like, you know what, man? I've had a spiritual awakening. I don't feel like tripping all the fucking time like I used to, because But, you know, I'm like, I shouldn't be depending on things either. I should learn how to fix myself. And I still need medication. I talked to these guys in November up in the Prescott, this treatment center for vets.
Okay, let's not go there yet. Let's go back.
Right. Otherwise, they convinced me to take this medication. I did the research and I was like, you know what? Fuck the PTSD. Let's talk about depression, because I'm depressed and I can't remember the last time. So I was like, I did the research on it, found a medication I wanted to, went to the VA, said, give me this fucking medication. Yep. And I'm, because of that though, like, I think this is what helps me. This is why I'm still here too. You know, a bunch of those things.
So when they were just trying to figure out with the medications what to give you to get you, you were like, I'm done. This is not working. What did you do at that point in time?
I went back to smoking cannabis. I went back to eating, smoking cannabis. And I remember telling the lady at the VA, she was like, I'll see you in 6 months. She was like, it's usually how long it's going to take for somebody like you to have an episode. And I was like, all right. And I haven't gone back until last year, but this is what led me to psychedelics.
How did you discover mushrooms? Tell me about that.
So I heard Rick Doblin on a podcast talking about the MDMA clinical trials. Yes. I looked it up, and needless to say, I wasn't able to find any at the time, lab grade MDMA to take. Just some street fucking
they were not that far in the processing of the tests yet.
Right. So I did some more research on the MAPS website. For those of you who don't know, MAPS is the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies.
Right.
And these motherfuckers have been doing this for a long time. Like, they're front runners now. A lot of people don't like them. They got a shady, whatever the case. I don't give a fuck. The information's there. Do with it what you will. That's what I did. I got down to the fungus and was like, man, I could grow mushrooms. How fucking hard is this? And that's where I went. And I never looked back. 2015, in January, I had my first tub of mushrooms. It was 5 ounces dry. That's what I microdosed off for 2 years.
Nice.
But man, I found the community, not just DMT world, but even after I left DMT world, I got onto other social media platforms and was like, man, this shit is everywhere, guys. Like, this is, I mean, look at it now. They're fucking all these states passing laws. Everything is like, dude, hell yeah. This is the way it was going to go. Like, it's just the universe correcting itself or some shit. I was part of that wave myself, you know. This is kind of why I was so gung-ho about it all, you know, back then. And I'm sure everybody who comes to the community is like that too. You know, you see the evolution. You see people kind of wean out. But like, this shit saved me. You know, I found my faith in here. You know what I mean? That's like one of my solid foundations is I believe in a higher power. I don't know if it's God, how people say it, but I know that there's something more than we see with our own eyes, you know, because I just always known, you know, like, you know, I dream a lot since I was a kid, and that shit's always giving me a different perspective. And when I did DMT or trip on mushrooms, like big time, like I was like, man, there's a correlation there. Like, there's a connection somehow with this part of our brain that creates entire realities, you know, for a couple minutes of our night, of our sleep. And this place where we go, where we see all this crazy fucking shit, where everybody knows you. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's something there. So a lot of this shit was familiar. But again, I had no idea I didn't even know what a chakra was. For real, I did it. This is what I mean. I was a baby, you know, learning, soaking everything in. This is why I dove into it so much, because not only was I seeking healing, but I was seeking this belonging. You know, like, I'm part of something here. You know, like, it may not be specific to DMT, but just this wave of people. I just look at it like as a correction. You know, like, the universe is balancing shit out. We need more fucking plants. We need more plants in our lives, and that's just what it is.
Yes. I agree. Did you know that the VA has been approved finally has been approved for the using of MDMA and psilocybin? It has full approval projected for 2024. So it is now out there and it's FDA approved. They finally got it pushed.
Thanks to fucking places like MAPS. And yeah. You know, there's this other lady who I know. Her name is Susan. I forget her fucking last name. But people who are pioneers that have been fighting the stupid fucking scheduling of plants. When, like, if you're 5 years old, you come into this world, and somebody tells you that this mushroom could send you to jail, but that rattlesnake that will fucking kill you is not. It just, you know what I mean? Like, there's something backwards here. You know, like, it doesn't take a fucking genius to see why these things were scheduled one or made illegal. You know what I mean? And I think this is that correction, that balance of people realizing that these compounds and plants have been demonized. You know, they've been used against us. And it's like, man, this shit has, there's wisdom in these fucking plants and fungus, guys. Like, man, this shit is like since the beginning of time. You know, like, this is some real shit. Like, it's, there's a really deep connection there with something in my fucking DNA.
So knowing that, Alex, let's put this thought out here. So knowing that this has been, and we've known this has been out there for a while, why do you think they have put all the restrictions and made them illegal and put them in these classifications? Why do you think they did that?
Just like anything else, control. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I agree. That's it.
Just, it's control? Easier to control people.
Mm-hmm. And profiting for other things like pharmaceuticals.
Right, so right.
If we're healing ourselves with these psychedelics, not, you're helping healing our brains, our minds, and bettering ourselves with, you know, we're not going to the pharmaceuticals. And so this is where we're at in this day and age. Right. The thing that I fear at this point in time is watching and seeing now the pharmaceuticals companies and areas now profiting off of patents for psilocybin, you know, these things that are out there like that now we're going to be using in therapy sessions. I talk a lot with people about this and the therapy part of this. What I don't know much about, and I don't know how I feel about the psychedelic segue into all we hear about is, oh, it's going to be good for therapy. It's going to fix this. It's going to fix this. It's going to fix that. So that's my leery area. I think it's great that we have them available and we know that they can be helpful in certain capacities. But I also fear for our community because we are, we have done it ourselves for so long. We grow, we extract, we do all that stuff. And now watching, and you know, we've done it. And now watching companies come in and starting to manufacture things on a mainstream. And it's kind of bothersome to me because I want the things to be, I don't know. I think I want the rights. I want our rights. I want our individual rights to be able to grow, to be able to manufacture, to be able to do, you know, extract, to cultivate, to decide what, how much, when, who, what, when, where, and why. I want that individual right. And I think that's what I think that's my apprehension for like the therapies and things like that, because I don't feel that I have the individual right at this point. I don't. I live in Kansas, dude. Like nothing is legal here. You know, you guys have at least more in the legal realm. You guys are a little bit freer. We're locked down.
Kansas is known to be a bunch of tight asses.
Oh, absolutely. We have old
traditionally heads. It's crazy because you guys did the cannabis thing way before it was even legal, right? What's his name?
Prairie Drummer.
Yep, there you go.
So in Kansas, especially in this area, there was what's called the Kaw Valley Hemp Society. They were the ones that were growing all the cannabis and stuff out here.
They're doing studies and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were fucking pioneers in that industry until everything went illegal or scheduled. You know? And now they're like the last ones to let go of that shit. You guys still have wild cannabis plants growing out there even to this day, I bet.
Oh, yeah, we got Kansas ditchweed. You guys just know where to go get it from.
And it doesn't look the same as the shit from the dispensary. It just looks like a big-ass bush with a bunch of seeds, huh?
Yeah. We can wave at you in the ditches as you're driving by if you know where to go look. Right.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been out there, but from what Prairie Drummer told me, and then since then, I've met a couple people from Kansas, and they just... Mm-hmm. they've confirmed like how that whole place is, and I'm like, yeah, it's principles, whatever. They want to make sure I get it, but yeah, you're
changing though. Right. It's changing. We're getting there.
You're a trooper. You're a soldier.
It's slow. One of the things I do enjoy living in Kansas and being in a legal state is like I get to feel like things haven't changed here. So I'm still, you know, calling my old school guy and going, hey, I need to, are you holding, you know, I'm still, yeah, I get to do it on the underground like we've always been doing.
Though, KB, look, I know what you're saying about the right. You're talking like official right to, for people.
Yeah,
not
I want the individual right.
In trouble.
As soon as I can have my individual right, or we all get our individual right, I don't care what they do in the other markets. You can use them for whatever you want. But at this point in time, it's more important to me that as an individual, because I've been utilizing these medicines, I've learned about these medicines, I help educate other people about these medicines, I help them learn how to do it themselves. I want to make sure that we have the people that are in our community, especially because this, I think, who it reflects the most of, is we have our individual rights to these medicines to do and as we please, to consume as much as we want, because we do know that when all this other stuff gets put in these other areas, regulations come into play big time. And a lot of times us, as the individual, get lost and we get forgotten about. Right. And our rights don't get put in place and solidified. And then therefore everybody gets to tell us what we can do, how much we can consume, how much we, right. I mean, we saw it in the cannabis world happening with that. I mean, it's just, that's all I want. I want to be able to be at my house and not worry if I'm going to be doing an extraction, and if I'm going to grow some mushrooms, or I'm going to grow some plants. I just want that right. I think that is my most impending thing.
I think that's, I agree with you, and I 100% understand, but like me, I'm a fucking criminal at heart, and I fucking made peace with this. I'm like, I seriously, like, it's good to hear all these laws being passed, but I'm like, you know what? It doesn't change a fucking thing for me, because if it ain't this that I'm doing, there's some other legal shit I'm doing and not even knowing. Like, I'm just like, fuck it. I don't care. What are you going to do? Because this is how I grew up, KB, but you're right, though, in the terms of the way the public sees it, because I look at that same scenario and I'm like, you know what I fear the most, and I've heard other people talk about this, is where these pharmaceutical companies or even governments start using these compounds against their own people or other people, which they have. We already know there's been studies and all that shit, but I'm talking like on a fucking mind control type level where you're like, what? Or maybe they find something that they demonize within a certain structure of a compound and like, this is bad, and now it's used against us again. This is why I'm always like, fuck them dudes, but
right. We do we're starting what's called roundtable talks in our Discord. And one of the things that we talked about was that exact thing. Like, I brought up the fact that how interesting it is that now we're seeing a lot of push in the social media platforms about how cannabis is bad for you. And the psychoactive properties and what it can do with the psychosis. Okay, so that's one thing.
That's life, though.
Well,
it's good and bad.
But listen, we're now also seeing negative things coming at us in our news about mushrooms. And so when things are on the high, they're starting to put out those negative things to make it and demonize it again. And it's just really kind of interesting that we're now just kind of, it was this big old hype. Oh yeah, psychedelics, you can go get psychedelics. Da, da, da. Now it's like, oh, they're bad. Oh, I opened a door on an airplane. It's because I took mushrooms the day before. Like, it's dumb shit like that. The normal everyday person would be like, oh, that's terrible. Like, but us, we're like, you took mushrooms the day before, and then the next day you open the door on the airplane when it was in motion. Right. Like, that doesn't make sense. That would not have happened that way.
Or like you drove to where in your car when you ate 8 grams of penis and
right. Like, we know this is
hey, but hold on, like, Gabby, look, I think that happens, but this is where education and harm reduction is big. This is key. And integration. Like, this is the shit I didn't even know until I stopped tripping. So I was doing DMT 2 to 3 times a fucking week, sometimes a day, just because I was having these crazy long experiences talking to fucking entity, just they're blowing my fucking mind until they were like, nah, you can't come back in, bro. You learned enough.
I'm glad they shut you out.
But check it out, though. Like, I still go back to these trips and I'm like, holy, this is the shit that I was missing, the integration part. Like, there's a lot to it, man. It's not just, like, these people who are making these mistakes, these are just dumbass people who didn't educate themselves like me. Yeah. I just jumped in it, took off running, was like, fuck, and then figured it out later, you know?
Right.
Like, now, I really
integration, feel... you're right, is one of the biggest keys in harm reduction. Oh, yeah, a lot of people that do jump into the substances right off don't even think about, they get so hyped. Yeah, they get so excited, and they start learning, and then
people mainly too, like that fucking pilot you're talking about. I opened up this group called Phoenix Micronauts in 2022. Mm-hmm. It was local. I'm gonna reopen it up next month actually, but
good.
I started teaching people
how to get a shirt. Will I finally get a shirt that has it on it?
I'm gonna hook you up.
That's cool.
I still owe you that other shirt, but I got one for you. I just
made it for me,
but I'm gonna hook you up.
It's okay. Now, go ahead. Tell us about this.
I came across like a lot of professional people that were like, for example, accountants that worked at Charles Schwab or whatever the fuck, like professional people, a news reporter from New Times, firefighters, people that are growing. Like some of these people were just coming out and they're like, hey, look at all this penicillin I just grew. But some people were just there learning how to grow reishi, just the basics of how to grow mushrooms. And basically, I was always telling them, like, hey, we won't talk. But anyways, this is what I found was a lot of people, they're already professionals in their life, and they don't want people to know that they're fucking taking it because of the stigma. They're like, I don't want people to look at me differently. It's like, man, I think that's a big thing, because then you don't seek help because you don't want to look stupid. And it's like, and you know, you got to put that shit to the side, because that's kind of what I did. I was like, I got this. I survived my first time. I could keep doing this. But and this shit comes back. You know, you got to take it slow. You got to take it slow.
Yes. Sure. You do. I want to let people know that we have some different designs that Alex actually sent us in our merch store. So if you want to have merchandise of DMT World that has his design on it, you can get it in our merch store. It's also you'll see it all over the place. It's in our Discord. It's in our website. So go and check that out so you can have some merch from Alex's designs. It's really kind of cool. Okay. So
I got a bunch more too. There's going to be a bunch good. More.
Awesome. So tell me, what are you going to do with this when you reopen the Phoenix Myco? What are you going to do with it?
So basically I'm just, the template was one time a week, we meet up to do follow-ups, talk about new shit. And then once a month we meet up here in Phoenix, like locally, I give people their kits. It's like a donation. We're just paying for the materials, you know, like $20 for like $50 worth of shit you normally pay.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just keep funding our own. It's like a nonprofit basically.
Cool. We're just
teaching people how to fucking grow mushrooms. And, I was doing it on, the meetup, application, but I'm going to take it to the Discord, because Discord is just so much fucking easier. Nobody's got to pay for shit. You know what I mean? It's like, man, look at this. Look what we're doing right now. I'm like, fuck, this is it. But because I got a lot of family too that I was supplying basically, and like it helped them too, including
right
very close people and people that you would be like, what? And I'm like, yeah, and it fucking helped them, man, because these are plants, guys. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. They're plants, bro. What the fuck? They've been interested. Anyways, they want to learn too, and I'm like, hey, I don't really grow anymore, guys, like, but I could teach you. And I think
you should teach. Yep.
I know enough. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, let's do it. And people want it. And you know, I know a lot about the mycology stuff. I got a lot of interesting theories too that are going to be facts one day, but I'm not into the business thing anymore. Nothing like that. Just my thing is like teach a man to fish, you know, for real.
Right. Well, and I think that's what
the community did with me too, with the DMT, like especially you and the people at the time, like that shit was significant. It was it was something to remember for sure. It changed my perspective on reality itself.
Right.
It
really did. And that's what we do. That's the biggest thing at this point in time DMT World does, is we teach. We're teaching, right, and we're instructing. We're teaching people how to do it themselves, because you can easily grow mushrooms. You can easily extract. You can easily grow all kinds of things. You just have to put the work in.
Right.
And that's what,
drive a car and fucking kill yourself too.
Right, exactly. And you got to learn. You got to want to learn.
You know, be open to open to criticism, corrections, because this shit is fucking serious, man. You could fuck your shit up. I met this dude over the last summer. He has his own Discord. He invites people in there. Basically, they, you know, talk about mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And every now and then they do giveaways, you know, yeah. support, whatever. Some dude and his girl joined. I'm not going to say no names, but.
Yeah.
Dude started growing his own mushrooms. He had a bunch of mental health issues and his girlfriend. Probably like 6 months down the road, this dude eats a bunch of mushrooms with his girl, blows his fucking head off in front of his girl while she's tripping. And they got this shit from the fucking Discord server this dude runs. I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
Oof. Thank God it didn't go bad. Like, there was no liability shit. But, like, think about that, man. Like, that girl's fucking scarred. Like, all these people were feeling fucked up for a long time. I'm like, man, that's a bad case scenario, guys. But a lot of this damage is long-term, too. Like, for example, all the trips that I did, like, I should have slowed the fuck down and, you know, talked to somebody, did the integration part. You know, I think this is what, like, people to go to, like, the ayahuasca retreats. Yeah. It may not be, like, what we experience or what we think, but at least there's some kind of integration where you talk about it and there's people around you, you know. Like, I never did that shit. And, like, I think it's come back to kind of, like, I feel like I would have been more efficient if I was that way. You know, if I was just open to, you know, all that shit. But
absolutely.
But I learned.
You learned. You're still learning, and you have your therapy now. So
I do.
So fast forward, we are now current. So you say you do music. You do have a YouTube channel, TikTok, all these other things that they can find you on and listen to all the music that you are putting out, correct?
That's correct. I play guitar and the piano, too. I learned the piano last year, and I'm under Alex 8721. That's ALX.8721. Because I fucking locked myself out of my
life. You can also go to our DMT World YouTube channel and go to the public playlist. And I have put Alex stuff in there so you can easily find him. Nice. That way. Yeah. I try to take everybody who's in the community that have YouTube channels. If I come across them and find them, then I start putting them in there so people know that they're part of our community. And that's another way that other people can network out with each other. So that is on there.
Speaking of, shout out to fucking Shroom Day. Shroom Day 0117, dude. That guy's out there doing his thing. I saw him doing his thing, man. It was very inspirational. And I'm proud of that motherfucker.
Oh,
and
everybody else is doing their thing. All the silver like that he's doing, it's so cool to go and see all the little. Sometimes he jumps on DMT World and shares what he's been doing here. So we get to see a little bit of it. Yeah, but he's on YouTube all the time just doing his own thing and just having a good old time. It's really kind of funny.
He's been real supportive, too. You have, too, KB. You and a few other people, man. You guys always been around. You guys always been, you know, supportive of me, too, and my endeavors. And I appreciate that very much.
Well, it's important. You're part of DMT World. You've always been a part of DMT World, no matter if you've left. And on that, from the very right, and from the first time you ever left, like everybody can come back.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you left. It doesn't matter if there was beef. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
Nah, I talk shit, KB. There's just never no beef. It was just me being my own enemy, like fucking.
And that's why it didn't matter, because we understood. Like, we were all just kind of there. We've all have our ups and downs. We all do stupid stuff. We all say stupid stuff.
Ignorant shit too.
And what's important is that we all learn to forgive, for all that stupid stuff. Because
I forgive you, KB. I forgive you for all the stupid stuff you did.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. No. It was all me. I take full responsibility.
And you know, you were forgiven from the time you made the mistakes. So
look, I'm not a bad person, man. Like I said, my capacity for violence, this is what I've come to learn. My capacity for violence is huge. So I talk shit, man. It may sound like I'm gonna fucking kill you or hate you, but the fact is, like, no, I'm just kind of unloading on you because I don't know any, or I didn't know. Any other way to,
dude.
Yeah, I'm kind of intense too. Yeah.
So here's my question. So when you went, so you said you were homeless for a little bit and then you went to the VA again. And after you did some research on some medication that you wanted to take.
Yep.
So what has happened since that?
So this year, like I said, it was kind of a nightmare. I swear to God that actually these last 2 years, 22 and 23, I felt like it was an out of body experience. Like I told you about this where I feel like, when I was doing all this shit at DMT World and having this psychedelic experience or spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it, right after I left, I went into like another trip. and it was like just a nightmare. And it really like, so the psychedelics, I was like a spiritual thing. And then all the shit in my life, the personal shit, it was like a physical thing, you know, like I, this is what I'm saying. Like I just destroyed everything, like, or just got rid of it or disconnected, whatever. But not until this last year. Remember I told you I was in Prescott National Forest, all these fucking outlines and shit.
Yes.
Fucking shit. I'm telling you, it's like a fucking nightmare. But I finally was like, okay, if I don't leave and I don't do something, I'm going to end up fucking dead. Like the signs cannot be any more clear than 12 fucking mountain lions in my camp. I was like in the middle of the night, you know, like this shit, it was all bad, you know. And I went to this treatment center up there and I met a couple other combat vets like me, same age, guys went to Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, did the whole family thing, got fucked up, drinking, blah, blah, blah. Ended up psych ward a few times, tried to kill themselves, the whole thing. And I asked them, because they looked fucking good. They're happy, they're content. And I asked them, what's the one thing? It was four of them. What's the one thing that you suggest? And they're like, medication, bro. Night and day, dog. I should have done it years ago. And that was like the first time hearing it coming out of another motherfucker's mouth like me. You know what I mean? Like this dude was, he's a grunt. And it was not a weakness to him. I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. Came down to Phoenix under supervision. I took this medication that it's an old medication. It's an antidepressant. And it's been around for a long time. And I'm like, you know what? Under all this anxiety and all this fucking hate, all this anger, all this shit, I'm like, I'm just fucking heartbroken. And that's the truth. Not just by other people in my life and what was going on at the time, but shit that I've been through, shit that I've done myself. Like sometimes we break our own hearts. You know what I mean? That was the number one thing was I can't remember the last time I was happy. Like I really can't. And I was crying myself to sleep for these last fucking few years. And that's the truth. I was just like, damn, I can't keep going like this. So I started taking the medication. And it's been like 4 months. It may be placebo or something, but like probably like within the first few days, I was like, dude, I feel a change, man. Like the bullshit's still there, but it's bearable. I'm no longer crying myself to sleep. I could shake the bad memories off and I could keep going about my day. And the music, it's just like more medication. You know what I mean? Right. Like when I play, I'm like, dude, it's like church. It's like my meeting with the higher power when I fucking play. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's just as pure as I can get. And I'm like, man, this is what I needed. You know, and it all came at the right time, right when I was about to give up. You know, it's like a divine intervention kind of a thing, you know, just meant to be, for real.
That's good. I'm glad to know that.
Baby. I'm fucking happy. Look.
That I'm really glad to know.
I haven't seen my kids in over a year because my ex took off, lied, bunch of shit fucked up.
Right.
And I'm really sad about that, but you know what? I'm content with who I am. I love myself. I know that I'm special. I know it. Like, I'm not trying to be boastful, but I'm like, look, I look back at my life, all the shit I've been through, all the people that didn't survive, people that are dead, including my brother, I'm like, dude, I'm not lucky. I'm smart, dude. Like, it wasn't luck. I made the right decisions, even though I grew up the same way. I'm like, I could have been dead too, you know? But for the first time in my life, I'm like, nothing could stop me, man. Like, I love myself. I don't need outside validation or outside love. If I get it, that's extra. That's icing on the cake. But for the first time in my life, I feel like I have some kind of worth and something to give to the world. That's the truth.
That's good. That's real good. So what do you want to do? Shifted. What do you want to do now?
I'm going back to school. Shit. I got squared away with the VA and the military. I'm basically getting a fucking pension right now from these motherfuckers. And they're going to pay for me to go back to school.
Aren't you going to get surgery? Did you say that the other day?
Yeah, Friday surgery. I got shoulder surgery. Yeah, but I mean, I signed up for fall 2024 to do this music therapy program down here at ASU. It's going to be all fucking paid for and everything too.
That's awesome. That's real good.
I've already got an associate's to my GI Bill, network certification. I've gone through three industries using my GI Bill, but I've exhausted that. But since I got taken care of with the VA, me and my dependents basically get either a stipend or like me, I get my tuition and a stipend. So they basically pay me to get a master's degree. And like nobody in my family has a master's either. I'm like, even if I don't use it, bro, like that's still I'm getting paid for it, bro. Like, why the fuck not? You know what I mean?
It's an accomplishment, and it can open doors for you. To have that piece of paper can open doors.
Especially as a music therapist, I'm basically going to be a fucking therapist, you know?
I think that's great. I think that's really great, because I think that's exactly what you need right now to pour your energy into.
Yeah, I think you're just... other people, like, feel good. You know, help other people. I think the next chapter of my life is that, is in service to others, you know? For real. That's the only way I see a balance in everything I've done in my life. You know, everything, even the surviving, was just for me. You know, even the kill, even all the violence, it was just for me. I made it out, but I'm like, the only way I can, like, balance everything out is just to help other people. And, like, I spent a lot of times in the VA this last 2 years, in the psych ward, in the program, treatment center. And I was like, you know what, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can offer other veterans the same thing. And, like, there was some younger dudes who just got out the military. And, like, they're talking to me, and they're calling me OG. And I'm like, oh, shit, man, I am, dude. I'm like, damn. And the dude who was working there was like, Alex, you should really think about working for the VA, man. He's like, a lot of guys who are here already working that are combat vets, they're all Vietnam veterans. He's like, these younger guys, they don't want to listen to us. But look how they listen to you, man. They're listening to you like you're a fucking sergeant. And I'm like, fuck. It's just all laid out in front of me.
Yeah, he's got a very viable point there. That's good. That's real good. Sense. Yeah, it does make sense.
In all the fucking bullshit, in the depths of the fucking and darkness, I found something beautiful and something worthwhile. You know, and it was my faith that kept my mind open to it. And that faith I got by having all these deep experiences and conversations with, you know, whatever the fuck those entities are. You know what I mean? Like, for real. They fucking gave me some knowledge, you know, and sometimes... You know, sometimes you go and it feels like you just got a download of information. You don't even know what the fuck it is, but you're just different. Like, you just know. You're just like, what? This is what it was. Like, I always saw that blue lady. Remember I was telling you, I wrote that trip report. This lady, this blue lady, with fucking flames out of her head. Purple skin, whatever the fuck, with the dog. Remember the dog?
Yeah, I remember skin, the dog, yeah. Hair.
Yes. So I talked to her a lot of times, like, hindsight 2020. She was telling me shit like that was happening at the time.
Yeah.
And looking back at it, I'm like, dude, I knew something was wrong. Even in my trips, like, and I was having dreams. I was like, what? But this is what I'm saying. I just felt like this real deep connection. Like, that's where I got my faith. I was like, I believe in this shit. I'm 100% sold. I believe that, you know, like even the Bible, even old religions, like there's truth in a lot of that shit. And all that shit may not be 100% truth, but... Man, this shit's been around for a long time, guys. Humans been around for a long time, even longer than we even think, I believe. But I'm like, man, there's got to be something else, man. Like, there's, even if it's just us connecting to each other and keeping this connection alive, who cares? It's something that's greater than us. You know, I think once you do that, like, for me, it made me be like, all right, Alex, now that you know this, like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, the only thing I've ever done is just use it for myself and, you know, survive, but I don't need to do that no more. So I just turn around and give it to people, you know? This is what DMT world and communities like this is all about. And I think that's what we talk about when we want to keep shit like that alive, you know, because when it gets in the hands of corporate motherfuckers, we all see how that shit turns out. It could go sideways real quick. 100%.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I'm just giving back, KB. That's what I'm gonna do.
I think that's wonderful. I think your journey has been real hard, and I think that you've come out in a very good area. And you know, you are a phoenix. You rise from your ashes. That's what you've done, and it's great. And I'm very happy that I get to sit and talk to you about it. And I'm thrilled that the community is going to get to hear and get to listen to what you have to say. And I think everybody's going to be tickled pink, at least most of them, that you're back here. I mean,
hey, look, no hard feelings if I didn't or said anything to anybody. Right now, I'm probably gonna do it again, but no, at my core, I'm a good guy. Just some days I have bad days, and I will apologize. I'm not too proud to apologize, but just know this going forward, like, for real, I'm gonna apologize in advance.
Yep, y'all heard it there. He's apologized. So whatever happens, happens.
Hey, but check it out, though. I'm going to be... So last year, I remember I think I talked to you about her and a few people, but it wasn't the right time. But I got it. I formed another. When I left the MT world, I did another podcast with a dude, Tyson Pekarat from IG. Mm-hmm. It was called the Psilocybin Tribesmen podcast. I was with him for like a couple months, and then I ended up just completely stopping everything and focusing on the bullshit. But I, before then, I was going to open up my own podcast called The Trip Report. TRYPREPORT, like tryptamines. Right. Trip Report.
Oh, that's cool. That's clever.
Yeah, I got that shit. So next month, since I'm not going to be able to play my instruments, I'm going to dive into the podcast and that Phoenix Micronauts group too, just because, you know, at this point in my life, I can do it. And I'm at a good spot where I can do it. And I know enough to spread the love, and that's the truth. That's it. It's not about profit. It's just about spreading the love and making everybody aware of shit and learning new shit too.
Yeah. Well, I think we're almost at our going to wind this up here. No, so
we're going to do 3 hours. Come on.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do 3 hours. Maybe our next one. Maybe when I'm on your podcast, we can do 3 hours. That would work.
I had a crazy night last night. I'm a little on edge. I'm not going to lie. But I'm not like out of my mind. I'm just a little, I don't know, like these last few months have been, I mean, it's like every day there's something new. It's like I'm a born again Christian type thing. You know what I mean? Without all the Christianity bullshit. You know, I'm really just still learning how to be and like trying to keep things as cool as possible, because life's too short to be pissed off about stupid shit. Because at the end of the day, that shit don't even fucking matter, man. When you're dying, is that shit that person done? Nah. You know what I mean? Like, I've done that too many times in my life where I'm like, man, I can't get that time back, you know? So that's me, man. I don't want no stress. I mean, for real, like, I'm just about, hey, we're all going to die, guys. Let's have a good time. Like, for real, don't be a dick.
I agree with that. We're all going to die. Let's just have a good time. I appreciate that. That's a good saying. We might need to put that on some merchandise.
Hey, I got a lot of shit like that, KB. I'm not even kidding. Man, I got into designing shit, like, last year, and like within 3 days, I spit out like 42 designs, dude. I swear to God. Like, that package I sent you, small piece of what I did last year. I haven't even gotten back to it. Got so many ideas.
I can't wait to see what you got laying out there then.
Oh man, it's like some cool shit. I'm telling you. I'll throw a lot of shit towards DMT world, but you know, when I do this podcast, there's something I always wanted to do is spread my artwork and my creativity like that too, because I mean, I'm not fucking Picasso or nothing. No,
it's not hard. You can do it.
Plus people like that shit, man. I got some pretty cool shit. Watch. You'll see. You'll be like, damn, what the fuck? Be like, yeah,
I already have some of your stuff in my merchandise store. So I've always known what you were capable of. I've always known. So I don't doubt you at all. I think you will get back up on your feet. Anything that we can help you with, I'll be happy to help do whatever I can. Because that's what we're doing. We're networking, we're affiliating, we're helping each other out do this, because that's what we do, is we help each other get to whatever they're trying to aspire to. So I think it's great. So, but yeah, so we are, I'm going to wrap this up at this point in time.
Let's talk more. No, just kidding.
It's wonderful. I'm glad to hear.
All right, 30 minute podcast nowadays. It's all good.
We're all about an hour and 16 minutes. So, I don't want to bore people and them shutting it off. Yeah,
fuck them. This is a conversation between me and you, baby. They're just privy to this.
But see, this is what, like, we got to keep them coming back so we do more podcasts together. So they're like, oh, we're going to listen to them talk again. See, that's how
you got a lot of stories too.
We do have a lot of stories. We need to devise a podcast that's called Allegedly. Allegedly.
Hey, that's what I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Just have people like come on and do like alleged confessions.
Okay, yeah, we can do a podcast together called Allegedly.
I allegedly one time poisoned my boss. He lived, he survived, but nobody ever got caught for it. Allegedly.
We would have to probably do those with a video. I would have to watch those people's faces.
Yeah, fuck no. They want to be criminal.
You can wear a mask. It's fine.
Criminals like me, okay? Hey, for real, though, I'm a straight criminal. Not because I chose to, but because this world puts that stamp on me. And I'm like, fuck it. I'll wear that shit proud as fuck, motherfucker. I'm not a bad guy. I ain't robbing banks. You know what I mean? I ain't doing none of that shit. I'm not a bad guy, but I'm a fucking criminal for all intents and purposes. And half of you motherfuckers listening are probably criminals too. So just get over it, guys and gals.
I don't know what you're talking about. You can't blame anything on me. I don't have nothing. I know absolutely nothing.
Fuck that. Statute of limitation with me. You could go back and pull up my old shit.
No, I can't. All this...
Oh, good.
Good. No, it's all gone. It's all gone. When you deleted it, it all went. Bye-bye. Hey,
so look, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I think it's good for people to be like that because more people need to be outspoken because, like, all these professional people, this is what I... When I met these people, I came back to this group because I took a little bit of a hiatus and I had this dude, Dennis, and his wife, forget her name, shout out to them. They kept running the group and all these professional people started, and I came back and I felt like a teenager. But I knew everything about my car. They didn't know. They're like, oh, sensei, like weird shit. But I was like, cool. But like, I felt like a kid around them because it's like, in terms of maturity, mental, whatever it is, I don't know. But they were afraid. They didn't want people to know that they were microdosing. And I'm like, see, this is, I'd rather be open about it. You know what I mean? But the thing is too, I get it. If you got some shit floating out there that may incriminate you, I get it. But that's probably why I deleted it, because either way, I'm still going to be open about it. You know what I mean? I'm not growing pounds of mushrooms anymore.
You deleted it because you needed to destroy something. That's why you deleted it.
There's an evolution that people go through, KB. You see?
I know. I'm it's aware.
Like it's just the plants. They change us for the better, you know?
You're speaking to the choir here.
You've told me this before. You've said it over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, it's one big metamorphosis, man.
Yeah.
I keep fucking changing.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, KB. Thank you for allowing me to be back into the realm. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
I asked you to come back. You asked if you could. I said, please come back. Because I think you deserve to be here with the rest of us.
Well, I got a lot of shit to offer, too.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, thank you. I'm kind of kidding.
I have a feeling you will share quite a bit of knowledge and quite a bit of all kinds of things with us.
Love, KB. It's all love. That's where it comes from. Spread the love. As always. Spread the love always. Always.
Always. Yeah, always.
The slogan has improved.
The slogan is good. I like it.
It's universal.
Yeah. All right. For this time, for real, this is your chance. You get to speak to the community. You can tell them anything that you possibly want. It could be anything. At this point in time, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and you just tell the community whatever it is you'd like them to know.
You know what I'm going to do instead of talking to the community like I did before? I'm going to just say to myself, but okay. Everybody can listen.
Okay, that sounds good. But
I just think, you know what? Like I said, I spent a lot of, you know, the early years of my life in my adulthood destroying shit, you know, fucking shit up, you know, and it wasn't until... Even when I got this psychedelics, I still didn't really know, but it wasn't until I got to the music where I was like, man, I found something beautiful inside of me, you know, and that kind of gave me like this newfound and gave me love for myself ultimately. And I think this is one of the things that it's like probably like another slogan, but just find the beauty within yourself, man. We all got it. We all got something that nobody can take from us. It could be a God-given ability, talent, whatever it is. It could even just be talking. Use that. That's your love. Spread it too. Like, fuck all the bullshit. Just be nice. Don't be a dick. Be grateful for what you got. We're all gonna die one day. Just be happy and bring love to the fucking world. Fuck all the bullshit. Thank you for your time.
I love it. I'm so glad that you took me up on this invite to come and be on the Rambling Rabbit. We had to have the right time, and I think this was the right time. So in the future, you're going to come back on my podcast again? Yes,
of course.
I love that. All right. Well, with that being said, I hope everybody enjoyed this podcast. I know I did. I'm sure Alex did. It's wild to be sitting here talking to you. And I think it's really cool because you started these podcasts and I'm now sitting in the hot seat doing the podcast. So I want
to
say
you're doing good, KB. You're doing good. I listened to a bunch of your episodes and like you got it. You good. Trust me. I'm glad somebody picked it up. I was like, don't whatever you guys do, don't let it be Luke Scott. No, just kidding. But out of everybody, man, that's it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not even gonna contest that, KB. That's you. You're doing good. So I think you should give yourself a pat on the back.
Why, thank you. I appreciate it. With that being said, I hope everybody has a great day, week, month, year, whatever. So keep ascending, friends.